It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you want to join the show, 888-808-1019. So this is really interesting, and the NFLPA was probably going crazy listening to this and watching this whole thing unfold. And, you know, it's not as sexy as NFL free agency or the NFL draft or some of the things that happens in the offseason, but it's just as important as any of that. As an independent arbiter wrote, that there is little question that the NFL Management Council, with the blessing of Commissioner Roger Goodell, encouraged teams to reduce guarantees in NFL contracts during a 2022 owners meeting. Now, there is not evidence to verify that the collusion actually occurred after that, meaning that they actually went ahead and did that. But the encouragement, as he says, the arbiter, little question that the management council, with the blessing of the commissioner, encouraged teams to reduce guarantees. That is there. And that date in 2022 and what contracts were given out then is significant and part of this whole story, because it was a Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract that we had never seen the likes of before, given from the Cleveland Browns to Deshaun Watson, that started this whole domino effect.
You know, and I was telling you back then, and I'll tell you again, it sent reverberations all throughout the NFL, because it had never been a total guaranteed contract ever given out. And then there are email exchanges between Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, and, of course, Dean Spanos, the owner of the L.A. Chargers, and they're discussing Kyler Murray's contract. And Dean Spanos thanked Michael Bidwell for not giving him a totally guaranteed contract, because that would help him with his contract negotiations with Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
So, look, I this has been going on for years and years and years and years, and now we have proof that the NFL offices have basically, you know, told their teams to watch out how much guaranteed money you give to the players. And I understand why they would do that, because of the injury situation and how much money can be lost because a player could blow his knee out. So, you know, what's also interesting to me is some of the contracts that have been handed out as of late that do have much more guaranteed money attached to it. And I'm wondering if that's because they're going to be able to use those contracts and that amount of guaranteed money to kind of like offset some of this crap that we saw back in 2022.
Yeah, maybe.
But believe me, I'm telling you, you know, I've sat in these meetings way back when in 1987. We discussed all these things. And the thing that really bothers me out of all of this is the lack of transparency from the NFLPA, because the NFLPA knew this.
Yeah.
And you're not telling the players? I mean, your job is to protect. Now, I will tell you that I had many disagreements with Gene Upshaw over all of this stuff back in 1987. And when he famously said, "I don't represent the retired players," which I said, "Oh, thanks. You're a retired player and you're getting paid by today's players." And this is when I was a player. And I was saying, like, you know, so what happens to me when I retire? You're forgetting me? You know, is that what's really happening here? And that's why I couldn't stand the way that they ran the union back then. And I still understand. Well, now the guys are making so much money that nobody's going to threaten a strike. Nobody's not going to show up for work. You know, I think Drew Brees, like 5 years ago, threatened. I said, "Well, you're going to be making $35 million this year. I don't think you're going out on strike." And they're not. And they don't have really any leverage whatsoever. And to me, this should be litigated 100% by the players against the NFL owners. It should be. This is the next step or hammer that the NFLPA, I believe, should use. And if they don't use it, then they're not doing their job.
Yeah, I guess the NFL can hide behind the fact that the arbiter said that the clubs did not join in such a collusive agreement and did not act in accordance with one as to the three quarterbacks named in initial arbitration demand or to other veteran players.
And by the way, Jeff Pasch, who was in the league for, 25 years, abruptly resigned, I think, or left the league for something else. And there's wording that he put in an email to clubs, in a sense saying, you know, limit the amount of guaranteed money you're giving out. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? I mean, what is the union doing here? I mean, this is an absolute joke if the union doesn't get more out of this, or at least investigate this, or have some litigation.
Well, what would be the
treble damages? I don't, whatever the damages are, they're going to be significant.
But I mean, how would that even work, though? So you're saying, all right, this guy should have gotten a guaranteed contract and didn't. So now we're going to go back and
Guy did get a guaranteed contract, and every contract after that was not written like this. And normally, almost every contract that is signed, and we saw this with Jamar Chase, when Jamar Chase signed his contract, who did he eclipse in terms of making money?
Justin Jefferson.
And why did he eclipse Justin Jefferson?
Because he signed the next year, and it was just he was the next in line, right?
And it's the next highest contract comes to the next player in line. So theoretically, if you're sitting here telling me that you're giving Deshaun Watson, was it $230 million fully guaranteed? Shouldn't the next quarterback get $250 million guaranteed?
Well, that's what the NFLPA is going to say. But then again, these guys agreed to their contracts.
But there is evidence now that the hierarchy of the NFL and some owners were basically openly talking about less guaranteed money than what Deshaun Watson got. I'm just telling you that there is litigation possibilities there.
Yeah, and I clearly...
And by the way, every state's a little bit different. I know that the NFL does have a little bit of federal protection, but every state is a little bit different. And, you could find a state that would be labor friendly and file a suit in that state.
So I agree that this looks horrible, but I'm not being argumentative for the sake of being argumentative. But it's almost like one of these things I was talking about with the poop cruise and the ticket, where this guy tries to go sue Carnival for these passengers getting completely this horrible experience and pooping into bags and stranded at sea, but that the ticket says, there's nothing here that guarantees that you're going to get there safely or you're going to be healthy or any of that. So if you bring this to somebody and there's litigation and I say to the court, hey, they signed this contract. We put it out there. They agreed to it. What's the recourse here?
Well, I would just say that, if I'm negotiating with the L.A. Chargers, I feel like I'm negotiating with the L.A. Chargers. That I'm not negotiating with what the Arizona Cardinals did with their quarterback. I'm negotiating with you, but now you're using what the Arizona Cardinals did with their quarterback to hold down my number. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're also being told by the NFL offices to limit the amount of guaranteed dollars because they don't want the guaranteed dollars to get out of whack. Now, some of the top end players are making a lot of money and nobody gives a crap, but I'm just telling you from a technical standpoint that if I were a union member and I wasn't told this and I'm reading it on some website, I'm like, where the hell's my union leadership? Why is the union not telling its players?
Yeah, that is really interesting.
And listen, you got agents now that are going to get involved. You're going to get lawyers involved. Yeah, listen, I know it's boring as hell, but it is a big deal. And if it falls in favor of the players, it couldn't require a lot of money to be paid by the NFL.
Yeah, Mike Florio called it the most important decision. Let's see. I got to find the exact word, but here it is.
No, he's a lawyer. He understands.
Mike Florio wrote that one source called it the most significant ruling in American sports since 1994.
Because of the enormity of the league, the popularity of the league, and the amount of money that you're potentially talking about. And I agree with Mike 100%.
Well, it's his source that told him that. And it's also Pablo Torre, who had moved off of the Jordan Hudson thing for a little bit and started delving into this and finding this.
Well, this really is a big deal.
61-page document.
And who knows who it affects? I mean, I don't know how far back they can go.
Yeah.
I mean,
what this also reminds me of? Because we talked about this a ton while it was going on, is baseball and the older players that weren't being signed. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And there was a ton of baseball players
coming out of 2020, right? Or in 2019?
Yes, right around there. And the players were saying there's collusion amongst the owners. They're saying don't sign guys to long-term deals or more than 1 or 2 year deals after the age of 30. All of those things. And then it was like, wow, those are some serious claims that the owners are getting together and colluding. I mean, so when you see something like this, though, at this grand scale, that situation there in baseball seems more plausible.
Well, the other thing about baseball is that they played less games, so they made less money that year. And
in 2020,
they couldn't sell tickets to their games.
Right.
They play 60 games, and, their media contracts aren't nearly what the NFL's media contracts are. And the NFL played a full season, although they had sparse crowds.
Yeah.
Now remember, that was the Super Bowl that we had down in Tampa Bay. I think we're only 25% of the stadium was sold because of COVID.
Yeah, you and Phil were down there.
Yeah, we were.
Remember you guys took a picture at a restaurant together? Yeah. You were sitting in an empty conference room doing the show down there for a couple days with CBS Super Bowl.
Strange, really strange. You know, when you think back on all that stuff, just how strange it all was. But this could be, and it should be, a very explosive topic for the NFLPA. You know, so maybe the NFLPA will say, okay, guys, what do you want to do? And the NFL owners will probably turn around and say, look, you guys can only practice one day a week now. Just one day a week. Just practice one day a week. We're going to up it to 18 games. No two-a-days. Show up two weeks before, you know, the season starts. Because that doesn't cost the owners any money, of course.
Yeah. So when does the collective bargaining agreement end for?
I want to say the next cycle is 2029.
I think we still have a couple more years.
But I think they can reopen it early.
Oh, okay.
And this is, if you are a network out there, CBS, NBC, Fox, not so much ABC because they do have ESPN behind them, but those other three networks, you know, with the streaming services out there now and the amount of money that's in streaming, these other networks, you gotta wonder if they can afford what the NFL is going to be asking.
And speaking of that, I hear a lot of people talking about Mobland after you brought it up to me and how much you loved it.
Yeah.
And then I got a bunch of friends now that are
into it. Yeah.
Stephen Waldron of CBS Sports, you told me that you had a free Paramount Plus subscription. Is that correct, Stephen? Stephen, hello?
Yes, it is.
It is. You got that because you work for CBS, correct?
Correct.
Who can I email to get a free Paramount Plus subscription so I can start watching Mobland and not have to pay for it? Who did you email? You mean you look into it? I mean,
this was like years.
Okay, well, all right, so look into it. Go back in your email and figure it out. Do you think because we're on CBS Sports Network, even though I'm not a direct CBS employee, that they'll be able to do that for me?
That might be an issue, but...
What do you mean it might be an issue?
Well, just remember, Steven's not a spokesperson for CBS or Paramount
Correct.
Plus. He is just a producer of our show, and he makes sure that we...
I'm not asking him to be a spokesperson for CBS, but I'm just asking him how
Tony DiCoppo is not available today.
of course he's not. He never was, actually. He never was available. But I'm just asking him. He's got a free Paramount Plus. We all do. So many streaming services. It's a million of them.
And Paramount Plus has got some of the best shows.
Exactly. So now I'm like, if I can eliminate one of these.
Like Landman, Mobland.
If you got Stephen Waldron there beating the system, I want to be able to beat the system a little bit. I want to be able to get in there. I got 50 other streaming services.
I don't know that he's beating the system.
Oh, sure he is.
Well, he's a CBS employee, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's beating the system.
Right, gets paid by CBS. So maybe that's the issue.
By the way, I do have another show for you to watch, if you like magic. Yeah, it's the Justin William Show.
Okay.
And that's W-I-L-L-M-A-N, Willman.
Willman or Williams?
Yeah. No, William.
William.
Willman.
Willman. Willman.
It was unbelievable.
Okay.
He's great.
Does magic.
Does magic. And he's great.
All right.
Is he better? Because the audience... Yeah,
Better than David Blaine. Better than David Copperfield.
This show was about as entertaining a show that you will watch. Now, some people may fall asleep, but some people enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoy it. Like, he even says that at the beginning. Some people like magic, and those are the people who come to see this show, and then they bring their plus ones who don't like magic and are trying to figure out how he's doing what he's doing.
Mm.
I like magic.
Is it more impressive than Oz the Mentalist?
He's right on par with Oz.
Wow. What is this on again?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Justin Willman.
I did not get fed
that. He is great.
It did not suggest that for me. Did suggest Poop Cruise to me. Many, many people reaching out to me on social media talking about the Poop Cruise.
The Poop Cruise got it.
Yeah, and they were all about it. But I will now look for your magician.
Yes, and you can watch it with your kids. I don't know, Sabrina may be a little too young, but there is an 8-year-old that's involved in this that is hilarious.
Sabrina.
Fraud! Fraud!
Magicians, I guess. I mean, he doesn't claim to be a sorcerer, though. He says he's a magician.
No, right? He's a straight-up magician.
Yeah, so he's not a fraud. Yeah, Sabrina said something yesterday that made me reevaluate my whole situation. we go to the... I'm like, how do you look at me? So we go to the beach, and there was this wonderful sandbar out in the ocean where the kids could go out, and it's just ankle deep, and they could walk out, play in the water. So last night, I'm putting Sabrina to bed, and I say, that was a wonderful day at the beach, Sabrina. You know, it was really fun. I'm glad you had fun. And she goes, yeah, that was the best sand bridge that I'd ever seen. And I said, no, it was a sandbar. And she goes, all right, yeah, sandbar. Do they serve drinks at the sandbar? Because if they do, you'd love that. Exact quote. Exact quote. I was like, oh, my God. And I start laughing. And then she's like, go get mommy from downstairs. I want to tell her. I'm like, I'm not doing that. No. No, I don't.
Maybe mommy's telling her that.
I tell mommy I delivered the line correctly.
Yeah, exactly. She nailed it.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
Because if they serve drinks, you'd love that. Oh, my goodness. All right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Jerry Recco back. He's got another update. What's happening, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I didn't hear what you were talking about, but I heard you mention the beach before.
Yes, I went to the beach yesterday.
Did you? Be careful. Did you see terrible story in Asbury Park where a woman was impaled by an umbrella that got loose and was flying through the air?
Man, yeah, you know what?
We know that every year it's the same thing.
I know it's horrible
for her, yes, but you got to be really careful when you're out on the beach with the umbrellas.
It was actually a lifeguard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I saw it went through her shoulder and right through her back.
And she's okay right now? I mean, as far as she can be, is not like on...
As far as I saw, right?
Did critical condition. Different? Yeah. You know what's funny? You ever see those commercials where like you're becoming your parents, whatever that thing is?
Progressive.
Yeah, so this is the way I was when I went out to Montauk on a very windy day last Friday. So we show up at our hotel, and they have the umbrellas set up near the pool, and they're open, and it's blowing. So I'm like, you know, I turn into dad mode. I'm like, they should really close all of these umbrellas. You know, that's what they should do here. And the umbrella we had closed, but the person next to us didn't. And I'm like, these things, I'm telling you, should I go say something? Maybe I should say something. I'm like, no, I'm going to relax. Next thing you know, boom, one of them flies up. Now, luckily, the wind was blowing from the back, so it went forward and didn't go to the left or right where somebody was. And then, of course, they're, you know, then tied up the umbrellas after that. And I go, see, that's what was supposed to happen.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do when you're in your 40s now and you're a father of two. You got to make sure that, you know, you button things up a little bit.
Yeah. But what he just said,
the last
so
thing
true.
You want is to get somebody impaled.
Right. We are a reactive society. We're not proactive on anything.
Yeah.
Like, you knew.
If you're a beach goer and you have an umbrella, you know this.
Yeah, but they must have been. But also, I'm thinking the resort does this every day. They must be very confident that these umbrellas are not going to fly away.
Their confidence has been knocked down a peg after that.
Now, are these umbrellas, do they have umbrella bases or are these umbrellas in the sand?
No, these had heavy umbrella bases, but that doesn't matter when the wind picks it up.
It's got to be tied in there tight.
But the umbrella came out of the base.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I mean it wasn't tight, you know, screwed in there tight enough.
Exactly. So, yeah, but I mean, But then I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. He goes, excuse me, miss, I believe these umbrellas are going to kill somebody, and I would like you to close them.
Well, I'll tell you what, they would, you know, if somebody would have died and you went there and you had told them that you should close these,
and they didn't,
and then somebody that, then you look like a hero.
But not really, because someone would be dead.
Right. Yeah, but you would be like, I told you so.
I don't think that's over a dead body.
No, like, not the point of it.
You say somebody's going to get traded, and then they get traded, and you go, I told you so.
Yeah, what did I tell you?
What did I tell you?
I should have done that.
That's what you should have done.
What did I tell you?
Yeah, and Gina was freaking out. The second that, because she's oblivious to things like that, you know, like the umbrella
she's from
thing.
Pittsburgh.
Right, so she's laying there, and then not even thinking about it, and then when I said these umbrellas are going to blow away, she's just like,
you fixed on it. Yeah.
She's like, that one's creaking over there. If anyone goes, it's going to be that one.
It's so true.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. Hopefully that woman is okay.
Yeah, I hope so. Yankees did beat the Reds 7-1 last night. I give you the Thrivewell player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. And even though he didn't drive in runs, how about Jason Dominguez last night?
His pitch line drive down the left field line. Watch him run down into the corner. Cuts the bag beautifully. Digging for second. And he'll shut it down there with a leadoff double here in the ninth. Jason Dominguez.
So 4 for 5. Wow.
Wow is right. That's a hell of a night for him. He is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. Of course, the Yankees win, avoid the sweep at the hands of the Reds. Trent Grisham, an RBI single in the second. He was talking about Dominguez. Man, he has earned how he is starting to play on a nightly basis.
Puts in work every single day. He's the first one out there, sometimes the only one out there. When it's hot, cold, doesn't matter. And I mean, it's really paying dividends. It's our communication is getting so much better, and I keep telling him every day and keep hyping him up. I mean, he's turning into a really, really, really quality left fielder.
Doesn't he sound like he's got a jawbreaker in his mouth?
Yeah, yeah, or something. But how about your guy Max Fried?
I was getting to that.
Oh, yes. You are? Okay.
Yes. He's Fried now, 10 wins on the season, 10-2, 1-7, allows just an unearned run. He was asked if he kind of looked at himself as the stopper because the Yankees were kind of scuffling a little bit.
I'm just going out there trying to win every game that I can. I think that's what every single guy here is doing. Every time that we take the field, we want to do whatever we can to, you know, make our mark on the game to be able to, you know, come out the win. You know, we got a lot of really competitive, talented guys, and yeah, I'm just trying to do my part.
Another song from the 70s.
Yeah,
or maybe early 80s.
I didn't pick up on it.
It's just Give Me the Night Again.
Oh, it's
same one.
Same one.
George Benson.
Wow. They love that song. Yeah,
I guess they love that song.
And they haven't played it that much because they've been losing, but
correct.
It's back.
Fried, by the way, sub 2 ERA with last night's 7.
I mean, it's amazing. Okay. What a great signing by the Yankees.
So far, it's been phenomenal.
Well, I mean, I'm judging him.
Well, he signed for the next year, so
I'm judging him up to
Tommy
this
John
point.
Surgery next year. It's not going to be a great signing if he misses the next year. But right now, it's fantastic.
Could you imagine if they would have Gerrit Cole in the rotation?
Yeah. Imagine if Luke Gehrig was still around.
Yeah. Imagine if Juan Soto was still on the team.
Okay. Yankees do open up a weekend series with the A's tomorrow night as they return home. The Yankees now 46-34 on the season.
Get right spot.
They stay just a game ahead of Tampa, who shut out Kansas City by the score of 3-0. As for the Mets, so we'll start with some defense early on in their 7-3 win over the Braves.
Here's the 0-2. Swung on, hit high in the air to deep left center. Back goes McNeil onto the track. At the wall, he jumps, and he made the catch! Jeff McNeil just took a home run away from Marcell Ozuna. Olsen gets back to first. Jeff McNeil, who is not the most experienced center fielder in Major League Baseball, just made a highlight reel play.
And I'll tell you, Michael Harris.
Yes.
He looks experienced to me the way
he looked great.
He looked at the wall, saw where he was.
Found the ball again.
Didn't go running into the wall head first like some of his other knuckleheads.
That is very true. Now, that was a part of the win. Another part of the win was the offense led by Juan Soto.
Cox deals. Swinging a high fly ball right center field. Harris on the run. He's at the track. At the wall. Leaps. And it is gone. 2-homer night for Soto. A carbon copy shot. Just to the right of the home run apple, deep into the night.
Keith Rad, Mets Odyssey
Juan
Radio.
Solo.
That capped the Mets scoring, 7-3 the final score. First things first, here was McNeil on Mets Odyssey Radio. In terms of that catch, kind of even impressed myself.
About an inning later, but I did peek up at the video board, you know, after I made the catch. So, you know, I've never had like a true home run robbery like that. So that's pretty cool.
Soto on SNY, how about McNeil?
Oh, that's a great play. That's a great play. Unbelievable player, great athlete. He can play everywhere on the field, so really happy for that.
Sure. Ronnie Mauricio, by the way, went 3-for-4, the home run, a couple of runs scored, RBI singles for Brandon Nimmo and Brett Beatty, and 5 innings from Clay Holmes for the win.
Here, and by the way, one more game, and they will be at the halfway point.
Correct.
And by the way, I already know what you're going to open with tomorrow on the warm-up show, what Al's going to say. If you haven't seen this Grant Holmes yet, who hasn't pitched against the Mets.
Okay.
Man has a Fu Manchu.
Okay.
And he's got curly long hair down to the middle of his back. He looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Mm.
So that is right up. I mean, this Grant Holmes, I mean, what a wild look, Jerry.
You know, it's very judgmental, Alice.
I love long haired pitchers. No. He got a Fu Manchu mustache. Perfect.
Yeah. So whatever this Grant Holmes does, it doesn't matter. It's how he looks. I kind of ruined it already, but
well, that's okay. But that's a perfect sports adjacent type of conversation that we can have tomorrow. Because he does. By the way, the Mets have played 81 games, so they are at the halfway point. Soto has played 80. So all right. To make sure I had that 47 and 34. But you are correct. I'm sure that that, if not is the lead tomorrow, within the first 5 minutes, we will get to that.
Also wears number 66, this man. So he is.
Oh, even better. The high number.
High number, long curly hair.
Feel like spring training.
Fu Manchu.
That's pretty good.
Bottom line, got to beat this guy.
Gotta go beat him. Well, it wasn't Grant Holmes, but Clay Holmes last night for the Mets. Here was Mendoza.
He kept making pitches, but they made him work. You know, 96 pitches, I think he was in five innings, was able to fight through it. And, you know, for him to go five there when they made him work, I thought he was good.
That said, 100 pitches in five innings. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's a 3-2 pitch.
Well, and for every one of these guys lately.
It does seem like it.
It's like everybody struggles.
Edwin Diaz was needed for the final out in this game. You've got the series finale with Griffin Canning making the start. We'll see if he can go 100 pitches in five innings tonight. Mm-hmm. Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10 p.m. You've got Pete Alonso. I'll be live with Evan and Tiki at 3:15 p.m. from the Cadillac Club as they do their show from Citi Field today. You will have all four of them there.
Yeah, so I got the reason why they're doing this. It's because they normally go to the Subway Series, but the Subway Series is July 4th weekend when people are going to be off, so they decided to go and do it now since they do two remotes from there with the Subway Series, so they did the Braves game instead, and also Pete Alonso, not through the foundation, but rather through the team. The team is offering Pete Alonso.
Very cool.
Today, so,
good timing.
There you go, Mets fans. Off a win, too.
That's right. The Astros shut out the Phillies 2-0, so the Mets a half game behind Philly. And Jacob deGrom took a no-hitter into the eighth inning last night, but promptly lost it. The Rangers did shut out the Orioles 7-0. As expected, the Mavericks took Cooper Flagg with the first pick in the NBA draft. Here was Nico on Flag. He is the real deal.
He's a basketball player. He plays on both sides of the ball. He can fit into any style of play. He's in great shape. He guards multiple positions. He can play multiple positions on offense. Great playmaker.
What's this?
You already said he's in great shape. Meaning Luka Doncic was foul.
That's what he said. Oh, by the way, there was reports that Luke is like shed a bunch of weight.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Luke is coming for you, man.
He can come for me all he wants, just like Mekhi Becton can come for me all I want. I'm just telling you the reality. Right. I'm telling you the realities of what's happening and why it's happening and what happened to those
Faso
guys.
Faso did win the Western Conference last year.
Some sloppy-ass drunk. Hey, drinking too much beer.
Yeah, here it is. Luka Doncic says reported.
Why do you think Nico Harrison said that?
He said 10 million things in there.
He said he's in shape.
Okay.
I mean, he also he honestly said 15 different things.
Yeah, but, you know, every one of those kids is in shape. They're kids. You don't say that unless you're sending a message about somebody.
The guy's not on the team anymore. What are we sending a message for?
Well,
at this
because
point?
I'm sure he's getting hammered.
Yeah, well, they were chanting fire Nico at Barclays Center last night.
And we've said, I've said this 10 million times. It's not that he traded him if he didn't want to pay him and they said, okay, fine, he's out of shape and not committed anymore. It's the fact they talked to one team and then traded him to the effing Lakers who always get the star. If you want to trade him, fine. Open it up. Talk to everybody else. Get the best deal. But don't do that.
Might have got first-round draft picks for him.
Time out. He did that so he could get the number one pick in the NBA draft. That's why he did it.
Well, if we believe in such things.
If we believe in,
how could you not?
I don't. I really, because the Atlanta Hawks got the number one pick last year and didn't deserve it. Does anybody care what the Hawks are doing? Honestly.
Yeah, but they didn't help out the Lakers.
Why? How come the league hasn't helped the Knicks in the last 30 years since Patrick?
Because everybody hates the Knicks.
No, but it's
everybody. Everybody in the league hates the Knicks. They hate us as Knicks fans.
I think it's good for the league if the Knicks are good. Do you think they wanted the Knicks being an embarrassment all those years? Honestly. Opportunities they had one time, they couldn't have fixed the lottery for them once.
And it would have been the Zion year, by the way. And it's worked out horribly for Zion.
Very true.
Looking back on it, but going into that draft, if they were going to ever fix it, it was going to be with Zion. He went to the freaking Pelicans.
Correct.
For God's sake.
If anything shows you it's not fixed, it's that.
It wasn't fixed, at least in that year.
Well,
they might have fixed it in other years. But
the only other thing that I would say in regards to why Nico Harrison did it the way that he did this whole thing, because if he would have basically opened it up for the league, then all of a sudden the amount of discussion
surrounding this guy and what this guy would be like in the locker room at the moment, or, you know, playing for the Mavericks, the way the Mavericks fans would have reacted. I mean, like, he had to make a decision. He had to make it quick.
Yeah, the Mavericks fans really reacted well after he made that trade. I mean, they're ready to kill him every time they see him.
Yeah, but they would have kept him on the team.
Okay.
You could... All right, we're going to go round and round on this.
Yeah, because you refuse to acknowledge anybody else's point on it. That's why we go round and round. Like, I acknowledge some of your argument. You refuse to do that with anybody else's point.
How much were the Mavericks expected to pay him?
A fortune.
That's not what we're saying.
I'm just...
I told you already.
Or the Mavericks expected to pay him.
If they made the decision, we don't want to pay him that $300
million. $345
million. All right. And we don't think going forward that he's going to be a superstar. Fine. If that's what you believe.
No, he already is a superstar.
I mean, the superstar that he has been, he's going to decline. Right.
Out of shape.
And if he's not committed, all of that. Fine. Just don't trade him the way you traded him. There's no excuse for that. There really isn't.
There's a lot of excuses for that. Internally, we're not dealing with a player.
Why are you just going to talk to one general manager and trade him to the Lakers?
To G's point, I mean, the Desmond Bane trade.
Right.
I mean, they got a haul for him. And I'm not saying he's a good player. Luka Doncic was on a Hall of Fame, whether you think he's fat or not, was on a Hall of Fame track. They could have gotten a lot more. And Anthony Davis is a wonderful player, but he's oft injured, and they did not get nearly enough for what they could have got for him. That's all.
I understand that. I also understand that now.
There we go. I understand that. Jerry, what's next?
Do I have time for George Kittle?
Yes.
All right, so he was on a guest. He was a guest on Bussin' with the Boys, Barstool, as we know. And he was talking about this Vasper bike that he has made part of his routine. The first clip I'm going to play for you is going to make us all feel really bad about ourselves.
Well.
Because as most of us don't do anything athletically or exercise for, you know, we can't even find 10 minutes.
Mm.
Listen to this guy's routine that he makes the Vasper bike part of.
As soon as I get back in like the summer, that's like my cardio every day at the end of my workout. So like I'll lift, I'll run my routes, run hills, and then I do like a 20-minute Vasper session 4 days a week, no matter what.
So he should be doing that. That's right.
Fat ass should be out for 20 minutes.
He is, by the way. He's in Slovenia.
Oh my God.
Dropped significant weight.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Significant cardio trend. Now, he was discussing with them why this bike is so amazing. And he broke it down and told him this way.
It knocks you the f*** out at night. Unconscious. Really? You sleep so well. And you have wild dreams, too. It's awesome.
Those Vasper systems doing a whole bunch of different things.
I mean, yeah, I'm not... The main selling point is... loads.
Oh, for real?
That's what...
I'm going to need that back.
Yeah.
You can figure out what that was.
Sex?
What's this?
He's talking about sex?
I mean, that could be part of it, sure.
Okay.
If that's what you would like to say, yes.
Well,
there's a reason why I beeped it out. I don't know how I would do this cleanly.
I would say increased output.
Oh, okay. All right, so if you're trying to get pregnant or something, then, you know, that'd be a good
definitely
thing.
Be more chances this way.
Well, I mean, California Cryobank.
So, yes.
Get in conjunction with Vasper, and then you get some more.
Now, hey, he can come for me all he wants.
Now, I will tell you, when he actually broke down what this thing does, it puts, like, blood pressure monitors on your arms and your thighs, and there's one that goes around your neck, but that one doesn't squeeze like the other ones.
Are you sure this isn't some like, autoerotic asphyxiation he's doing?
Not at all. And what it does, it's also, like, ice cold, and I guess it tightens and loosens as you're working out, and it tricks the body into thinking you have done a two-hour workout when you've only worked out for 20 minutes.
It combines compression, cooling, and interval training to help the body restore, harmonize, and reach peak vitality.
Harmonize.
and peak vitality.
Yes, it actually sounds really cool, to be quite honest.
You want one?
I would love one of these things?
Yeah.
Dude, it really does look amazing. So... anyway, that was George Kittle. The Knicks do plan to interview Pelicans.
That's too expensive.
Oh, I kind of figured. As Al said, when you go to the website, there are leasing plans or payment plans for it. So it ain't going to be cheap. How much? Eight grand? Nine grand?
I'm just looking at it. I haven't seen a price yet.
Yeah, I think you have to go to individual dealerships to get the price.
Oh, you can't buy it online?
It's one of those.
Yeah, I was looking.
Yeah, that's like a boat. If they don't put the price on a boat, you probably can't afford it.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it.
Fair enough.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer's out there. I think we got a new food delivered. We had some great food delivered yesterday, and Boomer's out there saying there was some food out there today, too. Wow, that's back-to-back days. We are very, very lucky when we get those drop-offs. So what do we have today?
We have the food that's left over from yesterday.
Oh, come on. 24 hours later?
Al, can you go check the boxes, see how much food's left in there? I don't, you know, we put it out so everybody could get a Wayback Burger.
And we go and we tell everybody, hey.
Enjoy.
Yes, go and have it, because some people are timid and say, oh, you know, it's a food delivered to that show, which is very nice.
Right.
That they wait for us to have it. Then we say, hey, make sure you go get some. I said, Pete Hoffman, make sure you go get some. And they go and they eat it. But I guess it sat here all day and no one threw it out.
Actually, it's just condiments and all the garbage.
Oh, okay.
All right. So good. That's good.
Oof. Oof. Good. Yeah. That's one thing that we lost when we lost Chernoff, was the throwing out of stuff.
He was very custodial.
He loved throwing stuff out.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he really just was like, your insulin once, Eddie, right?
Yeah. Not only throwing stuff out, like my insulin from the refrigerator, but he would clean up other people's areas without them asking for that to happen.
I mean, I get it. Like, you wanted to keep things neat, but what you do is you say, if you want it neat, you say to the person, can you clean this up a little bit, when it's their stuff, as opposed to just grabbing things
right
off their desk and throwing it away.
Throwing out medication.
He went into the fridge?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And just decided that you didn't need your insulin.
Well, I don't think he even registered what it was or what it might be.
Did it have like a medication
sure,
thing on it?
Yeah.
Like,
no. This is disgusting. Why is this in here? Why are there words on a bottle?
Man, this place must have been something, man.
Well, you saw a lot of it.
I mean, I didn't see. You know, I'm in and I'm out of here. I'm like not interacting. But, you know, me and Mark used to interact all the time.
Yeah, he was here.
A 4-hour show.
Because mm-hmm.
he would always be here by 5 o'clock.
Yeah, every day. Yeah.
Yep. So we talk baseball. We talk about his son running the Indians, that kind of stuff. And
right. And then any complaints about you, he gave to me and Al.
Yeah, he never wanted us complain to me personally. No.
Yeah. Yeah. The few times where he would deliver bad news before the show was always great.
That was the specialty of his.
Oh, I came up with this phrase that I'd never heard before, but I felt like it was the perfect analogy. When Mark would walk into my office in the morning, it was like putting on a pair of wet socks. Like, it just felt
like you knew that it was going to be bad news.
It was just it just felt uncomfortable, and you just wanted it to end.
I never felt like it was bad news. Like he never brought me any bad.
No.
Of course not.
I mean, I would get, they would get the most, but when I first got here, he still definitely looked at me as a behind-the-scenes guy, so he would treat me that way until for like a couple years in, then he finally stopped doing that.
So he was throwing his muscle around.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Well, his mental muscle.
Hmm. No.
There was one time, I'll never forget this. It was like my first year here, so he was still like, you know, nervous about everything. And I had
what was there to be nervous about?
Come on. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
I'm
the one who should have been nervous. I wasn't nervous. I knew you had it, didn't you?
I know, but he's the program director, and they made a big decision. It was also the afternoon show that started at that
point. Well, that's their problem, not ours.
But he was... Just, I don't know. He was wondering how things were going to work out, which I think is a fair.
Did he ever just come in and just say, this is how you should do the show with Boomer?
No, never.
Do that?
Never, no. So I was wearing a Gary Carter Mitchell and Ness throwback jersey, which was not the button-up one, but the one that was just the pullover pinstripes, Gary Carter Mets across the front. And he goes to me, why are you wearing a Craig Carton jersey? And I went, what?
Is he got number 8 and Carton on the back of your jersey?
I said, it's Gary Carter, you idiot. Why would I put that on? He was just like, you know, he was nervous.
He was nervous, definitely. I think he knew how to push your buttons, I think.
No, that was just him being him. I don't think he deliberately tried to push buttons. I think that was just him.
So tell the truth. When you were, when you first got here and you were at the bottom of the pile, okay, and you're working your way up.
Yeah, like as an intern and a part-timer.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. When you're working your way up. Did anybody like Mark Chernoff, or did they all, or were they all afraid of him, or they just didn't like him?
There were people that despised him, for sure. But I think that, like guys who were successful understood that he was good at what he did. And even though you weren't going to agree with him on everything, that you kind of had to listen to him. And there was a built-in respect there because he had been here for so long.
So if you could, was he the, Tom Coughlin of WFAN? Like, who would you compare him to as a manager or coach?
A lot of success.
Terry Collins?
No. That's an interesting one. I don't know. Eddie, do you have an answer to that? I mean, he was not, militaristic like Coughlin was.
Was he the Red Holtzman of WFAN?
I don't think there is a sports analogy of his management style to what he was.
Like the Woody Allen of WFAN?
The Buck Showalter of WFAN?
Not the Woody Allen personal Woody Allen.
No.
The Mickey Calloway of WFAN.
No. You're picking the wrong guys, man.
The Willie Randolph.
Phil
Jackson.
No. There really wasn't a comparison. He was good at what he did the way he did it. He's one of a kind, you know? But then, of course, there were people, there were people he'd go after.
He would go after. There were people he didn't like.
Yeah, you stink. You suck. That was terrible. That was the worst segment ever in my life.
I mean, sometimes it's okay to deliver the hard news. It's how you deliver the hard news.
Well, without a doubt. Of course, and when you deliver the hard news.
That's true. When you bring a quarterback in and you tell him, look, man, been playing great. Offense has really taken off. But we want to take a look at the other guy the last two games of the season. And I said, well, if the offense has taken off and I'm playing really good, then why do you want to look at the other guy for the last two games of the season? Is it because if I start one of those games, you owe me a bonus? Could that be the reason why?
You scumbags.
And he's like, and the head coach is telling me this, Vince Tobin. So I didn't know about that.
Oh.
I was saying, kiss my ass. I know you know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this crap for brains organization knows about it. And I know that you have already a number of cases filed against you for this exact reason.
Yep. And then you disappeared, right?
And then I disappeared for a couple of days, went to go play golf up at Estancia.
Nice.